And I was preparing preach in Colossians chapter 2. Why don't you turn there with me? And as I studied this next section, I began this and I was hoping to kind of take maybe, you know, get chapter 2, verses 6 through maybe 17, and I was looking at that, and that was kind of, I thought, man, I could, you know, get that far, and I'm studying, and I got stuck in verses 6 and 7. And I realized on Monday or Tuesday, I need to preach just verses 6 and 7. And there's so much there. If you just read verses 6 and 7, there's so many deep, meaningful statements and things that you know, Paul just kind of says, and we kind of move on and we forget about them, but they're so rich, so meaningful, that I really want to kind of explore some of the things that Paul says. So as we kind of unpack, we go through Colossians, the book of Colossians, I want us not only this morning to look at what Paul says, but I want us to look elsewhere in Scripture where the things that he says, he just kind of glosses over, he just kind of says, he doesn't really gloss over them. He mentions them, but they're mentioned in detail in Scripture, these concepts. And I want to really unpack those concepts this morning so that you don't miss what Paul is trying to say in verses 6 and 7. So are you guys in Colossians chapter 2? Let me pray, and then we'll take a look at this together. Holy Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your care for us through generations. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Lord, we even celebrate on a weekend like this the freedom we have as a nation. We remember those who have given their lives to purchase and protect our freedom, and we honor them this weekend, but really as believers, when we think of someone who gave their lives to purchase and protect or secure freedom for us, Lord, we can't but help just give thanks to the name of Jesus. Lord, all of our freedom, all of our security is in him. It's in you, and we gather together to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. Even the freedom that this nation enjoys is only because of your perfect plan, your grace that you've given us. And so, Lord, when we give thanks to those who have made sacrifices, Lord, even, Lord, we give thanks to you. And so, Lord, as we study your word this morning, I pray that we would not just gloss over it, that we wouldn't just settle back into our chairs and think about other things, think about picnics and family gatherings, lunch or whatever else. I pray, Lord, that we would consider Christ. We would think about his goodness, his grace given to us. Lord, we again give thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems like this time of year, springtime, the state flower that comes up every spring in Ohio is orange. Did you know that? At least I thought that maybe it's orange. It's all these orange barrels. It's like the state flower. You see that every spring, everywhere. Boom, boom, boom. One morning, it was either this week or last week, I saw Pastor Joe very angry, standing at the door of, I think it was his dad's office, like really angry about something. I'm thinking, I need to stick my nose in this conversation. I got to figure out what's going on. I mean, there's some office drama. I'm interested. And so I kind of made my way down to the office door, and I realized he's talking about the fact that seemed like every approach to the church that particular morning was under construction. They had 615 and 306 under construction, and all, every other back road, every alternative. It was like, there's no good way to church. What's going on? Who plans these things? We were having fun with that. I don't want to make Pastor Joe sound, you know, crabby or anything. It was kind of funny. He was having fun, you know. I'm sure there was some legitimate frustration, you know, there. But again, you know, you think about that. Under construction, it seems like there's, you know, certain roads that are always under construction. Out here for the last year or two, 306, we just thought they finished, right? And they removed the orange barrels, and then all of a sudden, more orange barrels. Then they finish that. And again, they keep thinking of something else they got to do. It's constantly under construction. Have you ever driven down Route 8? How long has that been under construction, right? I can't remember a time that it wasn't under construction, right? Who does? Maybe they were in a horse and buggy, right? You know, we're still driving through those, you know, wagon, you know, grooves today on that road. They still haven't fixed that. Driven from the wagons. No, I'm kidding. Under construction, certain websites were always like this. Remember the day when they, you know, kind of websites came out, and you'd always go to this page, and it was that little icon under construction, maybe a happy little cone, you know, telling you, "I can't help you today. Under construction, you are a work in progress." That's what Paul's saying today. We're going to consider sanctification. God's not done with you yet. You are a work in progress, and that work that he began in you on the day of your salvation, when you came to Christ, you received salvation in him, he will continue to work in you, do his good work in you. And this work that he began in you is like a Route 8 type of work that requires constant maintenance. Just when you think you've arrived in the Christian life and you think that it's smooth sailing from here, God says, "All right, hold your horses. It's time to set up some more barrels, a few cones." This constant work in you that began the day you came to Christ and will continue until the day you see him face to face is what Scripture says. The big theological term we try to assign to this concept that all believers are God's continual construction project is sanctification. It's this idea that he set you apart and made you holy in Christ. There's this concept of positional sanctification. In Christ, you are made holy. The moment you came to him, it was finished. The project was finished. That's positionally in Christ. Everything God ever needed to do in for you was done in Christ at the cross, at the tomb, 2,000 years ago. It's a concept that is positional in Christ. You're sanctified. You're set apart from sin, made holy, set apart to God for his purpose, made a part of his family. You're in him. But then there's this other aspect of sanctification. We call it practical or progressive sanctification. Maybe you've heard it in that. And this is the idea is like, yes, when I came to Christ, I was made righteous. But some things, if we're honest, just aren't right. I'm not as kind and forgiving or patient as I ought to be. In Christ, all the patience and kindness was grace to me. But even though I received patience and grace and forgiveness from Christ, I often don't reflect his glory as I ought. And I need to grow. I need to progress in my forgiveness and in my patience and in my kindness and in my charity or in my Christian love for others. There's this aspect of growth as a Christian where you're set apart from sin and to holiness. In Christ, I'm completely holy and righteous, separated from sin and its consequences forever, positionally in Christ. Yet practically speaking, I need to put off anger and jealousy, right? All these things that are not consistent with the very character and the mind of Christ. I need to grow in my Christianity, in my Christ-likeness. That's progressive or practical sanctification. There's some work that needs to be done. I need to mature in the faith. And then as we think about this, and it can be frustrating as you move through the Christian life, there's this aspect, a third aspect of sanctification. And when we say you're sanctified, we mean really all three of these aspects of sanctification. There's this ultimate sanctification. This idea when I finally see Christ face to face in glory, I will be perfectly set apart from sin. Never more to wander or stray from the truth and from righteousness, but has, just as he said on the cross, it is finished. When I see him face to face, wrap his arms around me, and he said, we made it. It's finished. You're at rest. And yes, there's an aspect even today that we studied, you know, in Hebrews and over the course of our study in Hebrews, that we're at rest in Christ. We enjoy Sabbath rest in Christ. It's not until we enter the promise kingdom, the promised land, heaven, the promised paradise, that we will finally be at rest. We will be perfected. We will be like him in character, set apart from sin forever. That's what Paul's talking about. But there's some really neat practical things going on here. So are you ready to read these verses? Let's take a look at them together. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and then we're going to kind of pick off little phrases as we go, all right? Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Be really easy just to kind of skip over. There's so much in just in the phrase to walk in him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Do you see the aspects here of sanctification? As you received Christ, positional sanctification, so walk in him, progressive sanctification, rooted in him, this positional sanctification in Christ. I'm rooted in him. This firm foundation built up in him. Yes, I have this foundation. I'm rooted in him, but I am built up in him. Progressive sanctification established in the faith. Looking forward to the day when I'm finally like him. The work he began, he completed. That ultimate or perfect sanctification. Let's go through here and consider these aspects of sanctification. First of all, let us consider this call to walk in him. It's been very easy for me just to kind of walk right by that, read that, and say, we know what it means to walk in him. And just kind of move on. But I began to think about this phrase in Scripture, and you know, as I studied, I said, you know, I want to look for other places in Scripture that talk about walking in him. What does it mean to walk in him? And so I began to look for that in Scripture, and I found some things that I believe that are going to be very beneficial to all of us as we consider this simple phrase, the simple charge from Paul that said, just walk in him. Okay, yeah, I got that. But I want us to take time to really meditate on what it means to walk in him. First of all, walking in him, according to Scripture, is to walk in the truth, in him. Jesus Christ, in the book of John, is declared as the way, the truth, and the life. Someone who walks in him is someone who walks in the truth. So this morning, if you say, I am walking with Jesus, then you are someone who is automatically saying
that you are walking in the truth. Jesus Christ himself is the embodiment of truth.
Are you walking in the truth?
If you're someone who is not walking in the truth, you are not someone who is walking with Jesus.
There's an aspect of this that we even talked about this morning. There's so many cultural pressures today to speak lies that are contrary to the truth. But we need to find a way as believers to speak the truth about Jesus, not compromise the truth. Do it in a loving manner.
And so as a Christian, we cannot compromise when it comes to matters of truth.
A call to walk in him is a call to walk in integrity, walk in the truth.
It is the embodiment of what it means to be a believer, is someone who walks in the truth. John continues John 2, other letters that he wrote, and John 3, and he brings up this idea of what it means to walk in the truth. And in these two books, in John 2 and John chapter 3, when he says, I'm so glad to hear that your children are walking in the truth. What he's doing with that concept, he's saying what it means to be saved. Somebody who's saved, I'm so glad to hear that your children are saved.
He says in this later, that's really what he means. He says, so glad to hear that your children are walking in the truth.
Why? Because for John, the Apostle John, what it meant to be a believer in Christ was someone to be saved, sanctified, be set apart, made holy, was to be the embodiment of truth.
Are you a person who speaks the truth consistently?
To speak the truth consistently,
we're called to walk in the truth.
In Galatians, this idea of walking in him is simply to keep in step with the Spirit.
Galatians 5:16.
When you say, I'm walking in him, I'm keeping in step with the Spirit.
And again, it goes back to our theme verse for the year. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit?
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you walking in these character traits? Yes, you are someone who speaks the truth, but you speak it in the spirit of love, joy, peace. We don't speak the truth to divide and conquer.
We speak the truth to bring peace to those who are in slavery. And to remember, we talked about reconcile. We spent a whole time, a week or so ago, this ministry, maybe it was even last week, time flies, the ministry of reconciliation. Just last week, isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Are you keeping in step with the Spirit, or are you getting out of step? You find yourself impatient, anxious, lacking peace, grumbling and complaining, losing control, self-control.
Paul says someone who is sanctified, walking with Christ, walking in him, is someone who is keeping in step with the Spirit.
Don't just walk right on by when Paul says walk in him. It's like whistling by the graveyard. You know, when you walk past the graveyard, you should kind of go, instead of just walking right by, a bunch of dead people over there. It's a man.
No, consider your life, the brevity of your life. When we say we're walking in him, consider what Paul is saying. He's not talking about getting your steps in.
No, he's saying something much more meaningful, much deeper, something that is of great earnest.
Walking in good works is also consistent with walking in him.
Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're actually going to cheat and use this for several different aspects here throughout this message. But the first thing that I want us to see that it says here in Ephesians chapter 2,
Verse 10, it says, you were sanctified, or you were created in him. You were set apart and made holy. For what purpose? Why did God sanctify you, save you? What was he hoping to accomplish on the day of your salvation when he set you apart from sin? He was setting you apart at that same moment to holiness for his good purpose, his good works. You were saved for good works, and he says, therefore, walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. Often somebody will come up to me and say, how you doing? Good. And if it's a teenager, I always reply, what good have you done lately? Can you tell me about it? What good thing? Did you clean your room? Did you take the dog out? So many times you say, yes, I'm walking in him, but I want you to consider, as a Christian, as a follower of God, how have you partnered this past week in his good work? What good have you done for him lately? What good thing? What good work? Or is all your work and energy and toil this side of the grave, is all of that for your own care and your own kingdom and comfort? Good works. When we say we're walking in him, we're saying we're walking in love. And we already saw that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But again, here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us. To say that you are walking in him is saying, I am walking in love. Christ-like, sacrificial, patient, forgiving, kind, controlled love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Men, do not claim you love your wife or love God independently. They're connected. You cannot say that you love your wife if you are not living out your love for Christ. You cannot say you love God and love Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus, but my marriage isn't so good. You want to pursue Christ this morning and walk in him, some of you need to work on your marriage. I say that kind of like separating myself. As we already learned, my marriage, I'm constantly having to live this out, right? So I'm not trying to set myself up above anyone. It's practical things. And husbands, you know, yes, there's that verse to us, but at the same time, wives, you can't say, hey, he was the one told to love me. I don't have to love him. And you can go right down the line. Wives, love your husbands. Children, love your parents. Love your siblings. Walk in love. Be imitators of Christ. When we say we're walking in him, we're walking in the light. Again, Ephesians chapter 5. It's this idea of holy living, separated from sinful practices. Ephesians 5 verse 8, he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are in you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's a call to holy living, sanctified or righteous living. You cannot say that I'm walking in him if you're imitating the world and its culture and its heroes more than you are imitating an imitator of Christ. And so this morning, as we say we're going to walk in him, Paul is calling us to holy, righteous, set apart from sin living. If there's some sin that you're walking in, put it to death. Because you can't walk with Jesus, walk in the light, if you're walking in sin and darkness. It's a call to holy living. When we say we're walking in him, we're also saying that we are committed to, this might be three messages. Oh my goodness. I just saw the clock. Did anybody else see that? Who's keeping track? Put your hands down. That makes me. When we say we're walking in him, we're walking in wisdom. We were just going to say, oh yeah, I'm walking in him. Let me ask you a question. Are you walking in wisdom this morning? Ephesians 5, again, verse 15, look carefully then on how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time because the days are evil. Second thing that we see here, not only are we to walk in him, this call to progressive sanctification, we're rooted in him. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Are you rooted in him? Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are God's workmanship, what created in Christ Jesus. At the moment of your salvation, you are positionally sanctified, set apart, made holy. All that ever needed to be done in your life to be fully pleasing to God was accomplished in Christ. You're rooted in him. Our life is in him. Our salvation is in him. Think about again when we went through this John chapter 15 study. He is the vine. We're the branches. We're rooted in him. I think about this firm foundation. I think about Matthew chapter 7, the story of the two men who were building their lives or their homes, one on sinking sand, but the other was built on Christ, this firm foundation. And when the waves and the winds and the storms of life came, that man was not shaken because he obeyed and lived by the very words of Christ. Christ is our firm foundation. Are you living according to the truth of God's word? Are you living your life according to his way, his truth? If you are, then you are rooted in him. You are standing on a firm foundation. And if the storms of life roll over you like they are in several of our families here that we prayed for this morning, they're living testimonies of what it means to be standing on a firm foundation. When the rains and the storms of life overflow them, they're standing, and you and I look at them, and there's so many testimonies. As I look out throughout the church, I can't help finding testimonies of God's grace and faithfulness. Living examples of what it means to stand on a firm foundation and not be shaken. For some of us, this message and this point is only a promise. For others, it's their testimony, their living examples. I'm so thankful that's you this morning, no matter which side. Again, I think about Philippians 1:6, my wife's life verse. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He began that work. He rooted you in Christ Jesus. But there's this promise that he's going to continue to work in you. He'll one day complete, get you from this point of positional sanctification, get you through that whole progress of practical sanctification until you're perfect like him. That work is complete. You will be built up in him. The next phrase that I want us to consider this morning, built up in him. Again, Ephesians 2:10, you are his workmanship. It is the very presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life that allows this promise to be fulfilled or accomplished. True believers in Christ will progress in the faith. They will be sanctified, made holy, not just in this theological sense, but in this very practical sense. Think the t-shirt maybe we should print for Christians is simply this. Maybe a big cone put on, maybe we need to make these for our church, one of those big happy cones. And it says, please excuse the mess. We're under construction. You ever see that sign around? And sometimes that's the definition of the Christian life. Please excuse the mess, or under construction, please excuse our mess. That's kind of the sign that we wear as t-shirts. Yes, we're messy, but in truth, if you understand why my life is sometimes not perfectly neat and in order, it's because God is constantly at work in my life, and there's constantly something that's being done to conform me, transform me. I'm a work in progress. Be patient with me. Be patient with others. You are living stones, 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as spiritual houses, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ as the church, you know, as a church. This is us, but also as individuals. To be built up in Him, and I want to go through several verses real quickly this morning. What does it mean to be built up in Him? When I think about that term, be built up in Him in Scripture, I simply think about this idea of putting on. So what are we to put on? We're to put on the new self. Colossians chapter 3. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. It says, put on love, all these things, all these character traits, all of this fruit. Are you growing in these areas? We're to put on the armor of light as we're built up in Christ. This is a daily commitment. Romans 13, but we're also to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Are you built up in Christ, this daily process? I've heard of people who just simply pray in the morning, pray through the whole armor of God. And even though in Christ I have His armor on, there's this aspect where daily I need to remember the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 27. Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and its desires. So we consider that we are to be rooted in Him. We're to walk in Him, be rooted in Him. We're to be built up in Him. And then finally, Paul comes to this final aspect of sanctification, established in the faith, verse 7. Perfected, finally, completely sanctified, made holy. And we look forward to that. We're established in the faith. When you think of something that is established, you think of something that is firm or settled in habit or condition. In Christ, you are established. His work is, you know, we look forward to that final day when it's finally settled. My habits are the habits of Christ. I'm no longer struggling with the flesh. I look forward to that day. Although I am in Him, positionally sanctified, there's this practical growth. One day, I know that I will be established. It'll be settled. It'll be firm in every aspect of my life. That's the day we look forward to, the day we see Jesus face to face. John, 1 John 3, 2 says, beloved, we are God's children now. Talking about this in Christ positional sanctification, and what we will be has not yet appeared. He's talking about progressive sanctification, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is, established, firm, settled, perfected, made holy. In Christ, that ultimate sanctification. I want to close the service this morning as we consider just a few verses. We could have so easily walked right by, whistled by them without considering the depth, the theological depth and richness of what Paul is saying about the Christian faith.